Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. You may know today's guest as Spike Lee's musical voice, and lately his work has taken some television turns. From acclaimed Apple TV Plus series Swagger and They Call Me Magic, HBO Max's made-for-TV version of film classic Father of the Bride, coming June 16th. Award-winning composer Terrence Blanchard joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, Peabody and MTV TV Award winners, Roku's Spanish language television plunge, our classic trivia question, and a special anniversary announcement. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal Reason, and Acast. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want, and get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the hour. Good to have you with us wherever you are on this Monday afternoon of June 2022 for the program about TV's current and future. We have fantastic guests for you this afternoon, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and call in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. You can also use our chat room. It's a business for you. It's SimonApple04, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Get on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen, and other people could be live with you. 79 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and Terrence Blanchard joins us live from Woodland Hills, California, after these news notes. Hulu miniseries Dope Sick and popular FX dramedy Reservation Dogs headline the first round of 2022 Peabody Award winners. The annual presentation of electronic media achievements are going virtual this week, with announcement of the winners among 60 nominees spread out over several days, along with live or pre-recorded acceptance videos. Other first-day awards went to Netflix docu-special High on the Hug, Mr. Soul, the film about the 1970s TV series Soul, which was done by Ella Payscough's daughter, Ella Payscough being the host of that great series, and Vice News Tonight's transnational segments. Now a recap of MTV's TV Awards last night. Euphoria was named Best Show, with Star Zendaya Best Performance in a TV Show. Loki co-star Sophia DiMartino earned Breakthrough Performance. In unscripted categories, Selling Sunset was named Best Docu-Reality Series, with RuPaul's Drag Race Best Competition Series, Selena Plus Chef Best Lifestyle Series. Incidentally, the show was simulcast on other networks, including VH1 and the late break, The CW. Spanish-language television now has its own Roku channel hub. Espacio Latino consists of thousands of on-demand programs, together with a bundle of 50-plus channels, all ad-supported. All of the key Spanish-language TV players, such as Televisa Univision, Telemundo, Estrella TV, and Canela Media, are involved to some degree. The Weather Channel in Español, which started out last month, and we had the editor-in-chief on this program last month, will be an Espacio's bundle. Roku will create original content for this enterprise, including Natural Born Narco, which debuts on July 8th. Now some quickies. Entertainment Tonight co-host Kevin Frazier and Michelle Turner will do their thing and preside over CBS's Daytime Emmy Awards special June 24th. It'll be simulcast on Paramount+. Netflix's long-awaited series The Sandman, adapted from Neil Gaiman's comic book, premieres August 5th. Season 3 of PBS summer series Camp TV, which we covered on this program several years ago, begins July 1st. The Gordita Chronicles will begin June 23rd on HBO Max. And late breaking this last hour, What We Do in the Shadows is TV's latest double season renewal recipient, getting two more seasons, 5 and 6 from FX. Also in the last hour, Ava DuVernay has just been named the recipient of the International Emmy Award Founders Award. She will get that award here in New York this November. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live in an internet radio exclusive from Woodland Hills, California, 6-time Grammy Award winner, 2-time Oscar nominee, and maybe before the end of this year, an Emmy winner as well, Terrence Blanchard. Terrence, great to have you here.
Hey, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Over the last 2 years, Terrence, you have done a phenomenal amount of TV work. Did you expect that you were going to plunge into this medium so quickly in a big way the last 2 years?
No, I had no idea that was going to happen. It was totally unexpected. You know, it's been a great, great experience, you know, working on great projects like Perry Mason, you know, They Call Me Magic, and others, man. It's just been a phenomenal year.
For something like Swagger, which was a phenomenal scripted series on Apple TV Plus last fall, the first one from Kevin Durant, who's one of the newest basketball superstars to get into the TV production world, what was the inspiration point of that series for you to compose?
Well, I mean, you know, it's the hopes and dreams of all of our youth, you know. I remember, you know, when I was that age, the fears and anxieties that I had about my future. So, you know, it's that combined with having a passion for something. And when you see these young kids who love the game of basketball in every shape and form, you know, to me, that's the inspiration, that dedication and that passion. And you want to support them in every way and hope that they find, you know, and accomplish their dreams. Because, you know, this life is a very short experience, you know, and you want to be able to make the fullest of it.
Did you have a chance to talk to Durant himself and get some additional ideas about the score?
No, I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but talking to Reggie Bicewood, man, was extremely helpful. I've worked with Reggie a number of times, and I remember before I even started working on it, he told me, you know, these guys were really playing basketball. And I think that's one of the things that makes the show, like, really exciting to watch because, you know, these guys can really hoop. And they're great basketball players along with being great actors.
For something like Swagger or any of the movie or TV projects that you do you start composing immediately after you get the assignment, or do you wait for the dailies, individual scenes, to then figure out, okay, here's my musical tone here. Here's where I want to take my score. Here's where I want this ultimately to go.
No, I try to wait. You know, because my experience has been when I would start, you know, writing from a script, I would be creating music based on images that I held in my own mind. And sometimes those things never match what the final would be. And the tempo and the pacing of the dialogue would be totally different. So I always try to wait until I can see something, because then you get a sense of pacing, you get a sense of flavor, what it looks like, you know how the actors are designing, delivering their lines, how the cuts are designed to create a certain type of rhythm with all of the scenes. All of that stuff becomes important in determining what the show needs musically.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of the coin, you have They Call Me Magic, which premiered earlier this year, also on Apple TV Plus. What was the inspiration, obviously beyond Magic Johnson? How do you try not to repeat yourself? Because like Swagger, it's a basketball tale, but in this case, it's the tale of someone who became a superstar.
The big difference is obviously, you know, it's a documentary, but the other part of it too is that, man, I lived through a lot of that stuff with Magic. You know, I remember those years. That's when it's because of Magic and Bird, I became a basketball fan. And I remember not only what that moment was in terms of sports, but what also it was in terms of our social awareness here in this country. You know, those two guys did more for race relations than I think any other athletes I've ever seen in a long time. You know, they had a way of allowing people to have their differences, but come together and appreciate everybody's strengths and weaknesses.
Terrence, there's a wonderful book about the history of television music called TV's Greatest Hits by John Burlingame, who's a great editor at Variety. And in one of the chapters, which deals with documentary television, he had a chance to talk to some of the greats like Alex North and Elmer Bernstein and others who have done both documentary television and scripted TV or scripted film. And all of the people he interviewed to a T said that it is a different world to go from writing scores for fictional programming, fictional content, to real-life documentary content. Did you find that was the same thing with you?
Oh, exactly. I mean, because the fictional stuff is exactly that. It's fictional. And when you're writing for a film, there are moments where there's no dialogue, and there's moments where the music really becomes another character and can really take over a scene. And a documentary is totally different. It's all about the words. It's all about the stories. It's all about the people that are being interviewed. So you don't want to ever really step on any of that stuff. You know, you don't want to get in the way of it or detract from it. You know, your whole purpose there is to kind of support that emotionally, you know, and it's sometimes in certain documentaries, it could be wall-to-wall music because of it. And that presents its own challenge because, you know, not only do you want to support, but you don't want to be monotonous either. You want to make sure that the movie, well, the music will help the documentary tell a story in a very concise and cogent fashion.
Mm-hmm. There's also the question of your accompanying a real live event or a real live trend that happens to either part or all of our society. And I remember in reading, again, going back to TV's greatest hits, that was one of the things that concerned them with Bernstein when he had done documentaries with David Wooper back in the 1960s for television. The Making of the President in particular was, you know, how do I have my music complement what I'm seeing on the screen, which is real life?
Well, yeah. I mean, but the thing about that is that you can't divorce yourself away from your own reactions to the subject. You know, that's the thing I find most important for me. You know, it's like when we were dealing with Epicenter, that's a very, very tough topic. And I can't turn away from what I felt, you know, listening to these first responders talk about, you know, their experiences and the tragedies they suffered as a result of going in, trying to help people, you know. So that's the first thing. You can't divorce yourself away from your emotions. But the other part of it, too, is that, you know, you're trying to, at least in my mind, when I'm working on documentaries, I'm trying to broaden the scope of it because I want everybody to be able to relate to it. There's some documentaries where you have enough source music where the source music itself will cover the flavor of the time, the period, and really give you a sense of where you are in the story. My job, I feel, with the score is to broaden that out so that a lot of people can relate to emotionally what's going on screen.
You're hearing Terrence Blanchard. He is the multiple award-winning, Grammy Award-winning composer and performer, as well as two-time Oscar nominee for his work with Spike Lee. And currently he's doing a lot of television, including the acclaimed Apple TV fictional series Swagger, executive produced by Kevin Durant, and They Call Me Magic, the documentary miniseries that premiered earlier this year. And coming up on June 16th, you'll hear Terrence again. He's doing the score for the new HBX movie, Father of the Bride, based on the great film classic with Spencer Tracy and the remake with Steve Martin. And when you hear who's in the current version, we'll talk about that and about other things he's been doing of late in the TV world. He joins us live from Woodland Hills, California this half hour, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Abbott with you live from the other side of the USA, New York, 79 degrees, top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Terrence? Ring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised is a brand new network called Aperture, which is giving new talents of both script and unscripted filming a chance at national TV fame. We'll talk to the chief executive officer of this new service, Jordan Gelber. Plus, we'll also talk with one of the people behind a major research firm that has a lot to say about where TV's future is headed. Elizabeth Parks from Parks Associates. She's the president and chief marketing officer. We'll talk to her on everything from where we're going with smart TV sets and smart devices, interactivity, the use of NFTs, and the metaverse, and a whole lot more. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. When you take an assignment like Perry Mason, which is coming into a second season on HBO, is that what has you do it? Is it to diversify what you do and the kind of work you do, or is it for other reasons?
Well, I mean, it's basically because of the creative part of it. I mean, when I read the script, I kept saying, this is not my daddy's Perry Mason. You know, this is something very different. And then when I saw it, I felt blessed to be a part of it. And having gone through the first season, I'm just starting the second season now, and it's been an exciting experience working on it because, you know, it's a very creative approach to a classic story. You know, and those are the things that really get me excited about working on any project. It's not just that it's Perry Mason, because I was a little nervous about it, actually, you know, because it could have been something really awful or dud, or somebody could have missed the mark. But this thing really challenges me in a way that other shows haven't in a while.
In what way? And I would think was one of the challenges the fact that people know the original series with Raymond Burr, and they certainly know that theme music by Fred Steiner.
Well, it's that, obviously, because that theme is a very strong theme. You know, it's that, but it's also the whole idea of this period piece and trying to straddle the fence between period and keeping it current. You know, that is a, it was the thing that, you know, when I did it the first season with Tim Van Patten, it was one of the things we talked about a lot, you know, like trying to have some elements from the past, but treating them in such a way that they felt current and felt new, you know. And it was a bit of a stress for me at first, you know, but once we settled into what we call Perry's world musically, then the rest of it just kind of just, it was cakewalk, because everything is on the screen. There's brilliant performances by everyone in the production. The way it looks is just gorgeous. And it, the show actually tells you what it needs, you know, in terms of music.
Mm-hmm. And then, in addition to Perry Mason, you had the opportunity recently to do the National Geographic miniseries Genius, dealing with Aretha Franklin. And you worked with a fantastic mm-hmm. actress, Broadway star, Cynthia Erivo. What was it like working not only with her, but also dealing with, A, your music, but also tying it in with one of the great genius singers of all time in any idiom, Aretha Franklin?
Well, it was a similar thing to working on, like, on They Call Me Magic, in that, you know, I lived through a lot of that period. Not all of it, obviously, but a good portion of it. And, man, I remember those songs. And working with Cynthia Erivo was great because she's a great vocalist as well, and I think she did a great job. You know, and working on the production itself was, it was a blessing, man, you know, because I'd worked with Aretha live a couple of times. I worked with her on a Spike Lee film, and then I did a few concerts with her, and she was always very sweet. And as a matter of fact, the last time I saw her at the Kennedy Center, she kept saying we needed to do more stuff together, you know. So for me, I felt an obligation to do the best work that I could to pay, to honor her and to pay homage to her, because she was such a brilliant voice and such a sweet person.
You mentioned a number of times that some of your scores take off from things that you've lived, whether it is dealing directly with Aretha or other such situations. Can you say that that is like a very big inspiration? Is that one of the reasons that encouraged you to take certain assignments on is because one way or another you've lived or you've experienced that situation or that issue or that subject?
Yeah, I think it's very important to be able to relate to what it is you're about to work on, you know. I mean, you know, when I've worked on the stuff about Buffalo Soldiers, that was a very personal thing for me. You know, working on the Five Bloods for the same reason. You know, when you talk about African-Americans who served our country, you know, you want to do the best that you can to say thank you to them. You know, when we did, when the levees broke, that was a very personal story to me, obviously, being that it was my hometown that was ravaged by the hurricane. You know, so I think a lot of times there has to be some type of emotional relationship. And even with Father of the Bride, you know, I mean, you know, it's a great movie, man. It's a really great movie. And the thing that I related to, the whole sense of family and wanting to be loved and wanting to raise your family a certain way, and some of us holding on to our traditions a little too long, you know. So for me, you know, if I couldn't relate to the story, it would be hard for me to write music for it.
You've had the great fortune of working with an incredible group of filmmakers, Spike Lee,
yes.
Cassie Lemon, lately Regina King, mm-hmm. people behind the various TV work you've done the last couple of years. Is there anything that connects them, or is there anything about their visions that really have you sort of be their sort of musical voice? I mentioned at the beginning that people have come to know you as Spike Lee's musical voice because of all the films that you've done with him.
Right. Well, I think the main thing is that I've noticed with all of them is that they have a strong, strong desire to tell stories. You know, there's a passion in being able to do that. Now, and they're all different, and they all approach it differently. But the one common denominator is that they're very dogged about, you know, putting these pieces together, organizing them in such a way that they could be very concise in how they tell stories. And, you know, all of them have that passion, have that desire to do that. That's been the thing that motivates me, because it allows me to realize that there's more than one way to skin that cat. Even though all of them have strong desires to and a passion to tell stories, they all approach it very differently. And that's the thing that always fascinates me.
In a moment, we'll talk to Terrence Blanchard about the next bit of music that you'll be hearing from him on television. It's coming up on June 16th with the premiere of HBO Max's own version of the classic film Father of the Bride, in this case starring Andy Garcia and Gloria Estefan in a rare TV, movie, or film role. That's coming up shortly. Terrence joins us live from Woodland Hills, California this half hour, an exclusive interview here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Sound up, I'm live with you from Nueva York. If you have a question or comment, maintenance with Terrence, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up next week on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we'll be with you 3 days, then 70th, that's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and already set to go on our Wednesday episode, you'll meet a husband and wife entrepreneur team that has founded a very interesting new set of nonfiction services. The company is called Pazetta Media, and they're doing interesting content that deals with the day-to-day heroes of our society. Their names are Michael and Jen Vanzetta. You will meet them, and you'll hear about their very interesting set of channels now available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. That's coming up a week from Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. How did you get the assignment for Father of the Bride?
Well, I was called by Jeremy Klein, one of the producers, and, you know, they had interest in doing a jazz score for the film, and my name came up, and we just started having talks, man, and it just kind of went from there, and it took off. Once I read the script, I was like, I was all in. And then when I saw the film, I was even more excited about it because I think it's a really good movie. And Jeremy Kleiner, who's the producer, along with Gaz Alazraki, who's the director, man, they, you know, we had room to explore and play, you know, and I thought it was a very unique approach to not only a franchise like Father of the Bride, but also to this particular movie, you know, in terms of how they allowed me to try things, you know, to create a sound for the film.
And once again, you're dealing with a very iconic property. Like Perry Mason is a very iconic legal TV drama. Father of the Bride, in fact, I just saw the sequel. It was on Turner Classic Movies yesterday, Father's Little Dividend. Spencer Tracy, Joan Ben, Elizabeth Taylor in the original movie. And then Steve Martin in the remake, I believe with Diane Keaton. And now here we have Andy Garcia and Gloria Estefan. I've seen some clips of that movie. It's a lot of fun. If people will let it, you know, see to it as its own being, if you will, I think they'll be very surprised with what they see and what they hear with your score.
I think so, too, because it's not a typical remake. You know, it has its own story. It has its own vibe. And when we tried to talk about, when we had the first conversations about score, you know, guys said he wanted a jazz score. Well, you know, that doesn't whittle it down too much because, you know, in the world of jazz, there's so many different variables and styles. But once we really started to understand what the style of music that the film needed, then it was really about trying to find great players, man. And that was the fun part because I had Christian McBride, great jazz bassist, Gerald Clayton, great pianist, Charles Altour, an amazing guitar, and a great young drummer named Jonathan Barber, along with an amazing brass band, a big band, and a string ensemble, a small orchestra. And every day in the session, man, it was just a joy to work with these guys. I was telling somebody last night, I said, you know, there were even moments where I faked like I needed to get another take just because I wanted to hear those guys play again. It was that magical every night, every day, I'm sorry.
Is that something that is a commitment for you that in a lot of the scores you do, the jazz is, you know, front and center?
No. No, because jazz is what I do with my career. You know what I mean? I that's what I love. I know that's my passion. But I also have, you know, an appreciation for all different types of music. So, you know, it's really about what the film needs. You know, I don't want people to think that anytime they hire me, you know, there has to be a jazz component to the score. No, that's not the case at all. I mean, there are a lot of films and some TV productions that I've done where there wasn't any of that, you know. If it's appropriate, I think, for the film, I'll definitely suggest it, for sure. But for the most part, I'm trying to service the film to do what's best for the story.
I understand you've got a film coming out with Viola Davis that you're doing the score for.
Yeah, I'm working on that right now. It's called The Woman King, and it's amazing. It's directed by Gina Prince Bythewood, and it's an amazing, amazing movie.
Is that going to be coming out this year or sometime in 2023?
I'm thinking it's coming out this year. I mean, we're still in post-production, so I don't really know. I don't have a schedule of a release yet.
And having seen a lot of the great work of both Gina and Reggie Rock Blackwood, whenever their names are attached as writers or directors to a project, you go out and see it, whether it's a movie or a television series. Any other TV projects, Terrence, you're working on besides the next season of Perry Mason?
No, not right now. That's it.
I got to ask, if Swagger gets a second season from Apple TV Plus, are you on board?
Oh, of course. Of course. I have to be. I mean, I enjoyed it so much. And I'm so proud of it, you know, that I definitely have to be a part of the second season.
One final question. Whenever we have television composers on the program, we've had a lot over nearly 15 years. We always like to ask, like, who are their influences? Who are the people, who are the composers, whether they're from TV or film or other media, that are their role models? Who are, like, your role models?
Man, that list is very long. You know, I mean, obviously in the jazz world, you know, you have Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter, Thelonious Monk, you know, all of those folks. And then in the film world, it's like the Thomas Newmans, the Elmer Bernsteins, Harry Gregson Williams. Those are the people that I really admire. And then, of course, all of the classics, the classic composers. I mean, you know, Puccini is one of my favorite composers of all time.
In fact, you're doing opera. You've done, I think, one opera already, and then
yep.
Another one that's on either on the way or has just been performed.
No, I've done two. I've done two. The second one was premiered at the Met last year. My first one was done in 2013, and the Met is going to do my first opera next year in the 2023 season.
Swagger, and They Call Me Magic, now playing on Apple TV+, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Apple's own Apple TV. For more details about the program online, you can go to tv.apple.com. That's tv.apple.com. And our guest's latest score is Father of the Bride. It premieres on HBO Max, starring Andy Garcia and Gloria Estefan. That premieres on June 16th. For more details about that program, www.hbomax.com. That's www.hbomax.com. And if you want to catch the incredible versatility of Terrence Blanchard's work, just go to his own website. It will be a great experience for you, www.terrenceblanchard.com. It's www.terrenceblanchard.com. And anytime you see a film or a TV show with his score, pay attention. It's really, really marvelous. Terrence, thank you very, very much for coming on. Congratulations on all the wonderful work in film and TV that you do, and all the very best going forward. And I hope that come September that you're up for an Emmy or two.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. It was really great talking to you. You have a good day.
You too, Terrence. All the greatest. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Terrence Blanchard joining us live from Woodland Hills, California. More tomorrow will be televised coming your way, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. We're talking about Viola Davis and the film that Terrence is working on called The Woman King, directed by Gina Price-Blywood. Well, in case you don't know, Viola has a wonderful audiobook and best-selling book out right now called Finding Me. If you haven't listened, haven't checked it out, you ought to, and now you have a chance. Audio style with Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, is Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, all of our podcast affiliates, and our website, tomorrowwetelevise.onpodium.com. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, that 1 month trial, great customer service, Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and while supply lasts, very important health and wealth information. If you're an Amazon Prime member already, you get two audiobooks for your trial, including one from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great one woman and one-man shows, and a whole lot more. So how about making today the day that you find out how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? So hear all the good stuff for you or someone you love. Just go to audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. We have a very special announcement about what's coming up 2 months from now, our 15th anniversary episode. And if we have time, we have a very interesting up segment about a network that tried to go on the air in 2020. How has it been doing since? We'll tell you if we have the time. But first, let's pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to the best of the internet radio on the planet. That's right, the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the B-side. It's wonderful music and music commentary, too. Tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time, one of BTR's longest-running shows is Music, the B-side. That's tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday, 6th of June, 2022. Tom Abbott with you live from wherever you are. What a pleasure to have Terrence Blanchard on our first half hour. He's one of the best in the business. And like I said, he has gone from being just Spike Lee's musical voice to as versatile a composer in TV, film, and other media as it gets. And once again, if you want to check out his wonderful music and all of his great work, go to his own website, www.terrenceblanchard.com. It will be great for you. All right, coming up, we have a very special announcement about what we're going to be doing 2 months from today. But first, time for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week in a row, we are offering the question. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the new novel, The Unexpected Danny Green, which was put together by a guest we had on May 27th, TV executive turned writer Paul Friedman. And the book is getting a lot of buzz, so much so it may be considered as a future television series. Here's the question. Rod Serling was the first on-camera narrator of The Twilight Zone from 1959 to 1964, the original run on CBS. More recently, it was Jordan Peele of Key and Peele and his own great career as a TV and film director and producer that he did for 2 seasons on CBS All Access, now Paramount Plus. So Rod Serling was the first. Jordan Peele was the third. Who was the second? That's the question. And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you are first with the correct answer, you win The Unexpected Danny Green. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Once again, here's the question. Rod Serling was the first on-camera narrator of The Twilight Zone. Who was second? Again, if you know the answer, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If you've already won already in a previous contest, you are not eligible. We always try to get new winners all over the country and in some cases around the world too. So get your thinking caps on, get your answers in. First correct answer wins. And of course, in order to win, just play in. And all the very best. And now, a special announcement. 2 months from now, first Monday in August, this very program will be marking its 15th anniversary and plunge into year 16. It has been, so far, with 2 months remaining, an amazing 15th year. We've had incredible guests throughout the year. We have broken story after story, especially with new networks, trends like interactive telehealth on the television set, interactivity, shoppable ads, and even new services that may plunge this medium into all sorts of new territory, like our episode last Thursday with Rewarded TV. Well, we want to make the 15th anniversary episode very, very special. So here's what we're going to do. And again, this is the first Monday in August. We're going to do a two-hour program, and we're going to vote each hour to an expanded interview with a major television player. That's right. We're going to do a two-hour show, and each hour, 3 to 4 Eastern, 4 to 5 Eastern, which is noon to 1, 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time, we will devote most of the hour to an expanded interview with one guest, a major player. Who are the players that are major we're talking about? We're talking people like Ted Sarandos, the co-chief executive officer of Netflix, David Zaslav, the head of Warner Bros. Discovery, Byron Allen, the entrepreneur whose credits include everything from owning television stations to multi-channel bundles like Local Now, owning the Weather Channel, syndicator, individual film producer, cable network entrepreneur, one of the most amazing entrepreneurs and also someone who is a major advocate now for African-American-owned channels to get on television and to get full ad support. Shonda Rhimes, Greg Berlanti, one of the top show producers around for the CW and Netflix and other, and HBO Max and other places. Ava DuVernay, who just got, just we learned last hour, is going to win the International Emmy Award Founders Award, one likes of Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams. Tara Duncan, the president of Freeform and also the Disney project, the Onyx Collective. That's the kind of folks we're talking about. So what we're going to do is, starting tomorrow, we are going to approach those people by email and if need be by phone call and invite them to come on this program. And just to let you know, each hour-long interview, we're only going to do one commercial break or promo break. That will be at the bottom of the hour. We will not do classic trivia question that day. We'll hold it off. What we want to do, by the way, ultimately, is to also do three episodes on our anniversary week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And the first two people that decide to spend an hour with us that Monday, they'll be on. If we do get more than two people, we may have a second two-hour show with the same situation, hour-long interviews. So starting tomorrow, we are going to pull out the stops to get amazing people on this program to mark our 15th anniversary and our kickoff of year 16. And if you, any of you out there have any ideas or can get us contact with key people, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Use our website. Tomorrow will be televised on podium.com. We want to hear from you. And if we have any PR people listening in, we want to hear you. And like I said, first two people get in. So it's a race to the to get on the show. And it's a good race, too. We are going to aim for the best and the brightest. We want you to hear them. There's no better way to celebrate an anniversary than to hear about TV's current and future from the major domos, the major players who make it happen. So we're going to go for it. We're going to go for it big time. And with your support, we'll do it. So once again, coming your way 2 months from today, first Monday of August 2022, a special two-hour edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, with each hour devoted to a expanded interview with a leading television player. And, yes, you will be able to call in or chat room in. So it's going to be live so that you can interact with our guests throughout the each hour. And, again, we will only interrupt the program once at the bottom of the hour for promotion and for station and for web ID. And we'll keep you posted how we're doing, all right? So be sure to join us. And make your plans now to be with us for a big 15th anniversary start of year 16 episode. That's the first Monday of August 2022, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And remember, if you can't join us live, you can check us out on a podcast. We'll be on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, all of our podcast affiliates minutes after we go off the air at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. And we'll also be, in a few matter of minutes, also on our brand new website. I'm happy so many people are tuning it in. Tomorrow will be televised.onpodium.com. And again, if we get more than two key people responding, we will do a second two-hour show, either that Wednesday or that Friday. So we will keep you posted. Now time, since we do have the time, for our regular feature up as an update, where we catch up on guests and topics we've had in this program. 2 years ago on this program, we introduced you to a proposed new service called Rivit TV, R-I-V-I-T TV. The premise was very simple. It would present programming, new original programming, scripted and unscripted, by new talent that if you like the show, the shows will get made. They would run pilots of various shows on demand, and you weigh in and vote. And if they're to your liking, the shows will get made, and you fund them. Well, at the time, it looked like Rivet TV was a full-fledged go. And then came the coronavirus pandemic. And then came a virtual stoppage of most major TV and film production. So Rivet TV decided, well, we have to change our tune. We got to make a curve. And they did. They changed their name to Devo TV, D-E-V-O TV. And yes, as we speak, they are still going as an enterprise. We checked in with Devo TV earlier today, and they responded to their credit with a quick reply, which is It looks like that in about a month or so, they will have a lot more to say about the status of their service, the whether or not they will go back to the Rivet model, or whether they'll be Rivet with some other things as well. So we'll keep you posted, and as soon as they're ready to talk, we will invite them to come on this program. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about Devo TV, I believe their website is www.devo.tv or devotv.com. Try either one, and we'll see what happens. And again, we will keep you posted. Before we leave you, one more comment to make. We kick things off with the Peabody Award winners, the first round of Peabody Award winners, which was handled virtually. In case you missed our news note, we want to let you know that the first group of winners included two scripted series from Hulu, the miniseries Dope Stick starring Michael Keaton, and the popular FX dramedy series Reservation Dogs, which, by the way, I have a hunch is going to be up for quite a few Emmy Awards later this year. As it turned out, rather than do an in-person event and announce the awards and then do an in-person event, as they have done in previous Junes, the Peabody people have decided we're going to be virtual about it. We're going to announce the winners on social media. We're going to announce it on our website. And when we announce the winners, we're also going to show you pre-recorded acceptance speeches by a representative for the show or for the series or for the special or for the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. I have to say, I'm disappointed with the Peabody's. And maybe it's because of the fact that I used to attend the Peabody's in person when they were in New York the last couple of years, a great ceremony at Cipriani's Wall Street. They had a fantastic red carpet. It was a pleasure to meet all sorts of key people like Billy Porter and MJ Rodriguez and Pose and Rita Moreno when she got a special award and so many other people over the years. Originally, the Peabody's were going to go to Los Angeles and do their thing. Then came the pandemic, and now they decided to go virtual. I really think it's a shame that they decided to be virtual this year as opposed to being in person somewhere. Personally, I'd like to see it come back to New York. I thought that Cipriani's Wall Street gave it a great showcase. It was very well attended by press. It was great to see celebrities who won in person and also talk to show creators, especially when we covered those creators on our program. A number of us, of the executive producers and creators of shows we've covered in this program, went on to win Peabody Awards. And so it's a real shame that, you know, in recent years it has gone virtual because of the pandemic. And I hope that next year, everything willing, they will go back to being a ceremony where people can see it, the winners can be live, they can accept their speeches live, and we can all revel in their glory. So I hope that happens next year. I'm sorry it's not this year. Would have been great, either in New York or L.A., preferably for me in New York, because I could then go see it, along with my fellow journalism folks here in the Big Apple. And hopefully next year it'll happen. The Peabody's, of course, are done by Brady College, their School of Journalism in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Atlanta area. And I really, really hope, and they do a great job every year. They have 19 judges this year that determine the awards, over 1,000 entries, 60 nominees. They go to a 30, they then pick 30. There will be more Peabody Award winners announced tomorrow, and I think it goes to Thursday or sometime mid-morning. One other thing, too. I'd like to see the Peep, because there are so many more original shows of quality in television, and because we have a fast-blowing, amazing, expanding podcast industry, more in radio, more TV, made-for-TV movies, et cetera, documentary specials, more new networks around. I think it's time for the Peabody's to go from 30 to at least 40 winners a year. And maybe rather than go to 60 nominees, 80 nominees. I think it's only fair given the incredible variety of product that is out there and all the amazing things that are going on in the world of television that I think deserve their honor. I've always considered the Peabody's the Pulitzer Prize of television. Even virtual, it is. I think the picks they've done today so far have been marvelous. Dope Stick deserved it. Reservation Dogs deserved it. I'm also thrilled that a movie that we didn't unfortunately cover, we tried to so much, Mr. Soul, about the creator of the award-winning PBS 1970 series Soul, Ellis Haysbert, done by his daughter, won. It's been a prize winner at different festivals. I'm thrilled the Peabody people recognized it. And I'm just sorry that, again, there's no ceremony here in New York that we could, or L.A., that we could virtually some way connect by Zoom and talk to Ella Haysup's daughter. I'm very thrilled for her and her family that her late father's been recognized this way. I was a big fan of Soul. I watched it regularly on PBS. It came out of WNT 13. It is a mark. Somebody should put episodes on YouTube. I think there are any episodes on PBS.org. It's one of the really great highlights of public television's existence. At a time when public television was doing great shows like Black Journal, The Great American Dream Machine, Hollywood Television Theater, Visions, the early days of Masterpiece Theater, and so much more. And NET Playhouse, another one, Spectrum, Spine Science News Magazine, and so many great shows from the mid-1960s to the late 1970s. That was, for me, the golden era of public television. And Soul was part of that. So, again, congratulations to all the Peabody Award winners and the nominees. And, again, hopefully next year it will be live in person somewhere, hopefully in New York. Let's make it work. Let's make it happen, Peabodys. That would be great. Again, a big thank you to Terrence Blanche for joining us today and all of you for tuning in as well. Coming up on Friday's episode, you'll meet the head of a network called Aperture that's now offering for new fiction and nonfiction series creators and special creators an opportunity to get national exposure. We'll talk to the chief executive officer of the service, Jordan Gelber. Then Elizabeth Parks, the president of Parks Associates, one of the most popular media research, and they do a lot of interesting conferences throughout the country every year. We'll talk to Elizabeth about where she sees television going. It's her first time on our program, and we're looking forward to it very, very much. It's all coming up on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on the Marvy Televised. And then the following week, three-episode week, June 13th, 15th, 17th, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, anytime throughout the week, check us out on podcasts. A lot of our episodes are available. This one will be in a few minutes on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, Reason, Speaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, the iRadio Podcast Network, Acast, our newest affiliate, Spotify, and other podcast sites as well. And it will also be available on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and available on our website. And I'm happy to say a lot of people are tuning it in on a regular basis. That's tomorrowwilbetelevised.onpodium.com. Tomorrow will be televised, all the between the words are hyphen, tomorrowwilbetelevised.onpodium.com. Love to hear from you anytime about where things are at, where they're going in television. By the way, if you have a question about the medium, a question about guests, any ideas for future guests and topics, use the bottom of the home screen at tomorrowwilbetelevised.onpodium.com to let me know what you think. And if we use your question or your thoughts on the air, of course, we will give you the credit. So don't forget, that's one way you can communicate. You can also email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Use that email for our classic trivia question of the week. One last time, here's the question. Rod Serling was the first on-camera narrator of The Twilight Zone. Who was the second? And if you're first with the correct answer, you win the unexpected Danny Green by recent TWBT guest, TV executive turned novelist, Paul Friedman. At SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. However you communicate, we do communicate back within 24 hours because our promise to you is that what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Dave Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Vakas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace on Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world and makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday and your week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, all of our podcast sites, and our website as well. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it a safe and great time. And if you haven't been vaccinated, Do check in with your doctor. Find out what your medical condition is. Find out about all the alternative treatments available to you, including the Pfizer and Merck pills, available at pharmacies nationwide, in most cases without a prescription and without cost. And then make a choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and be tuned.